friends, this morning I'm turning to the letter to the Romans. Chapter 8 and to verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." That is our title for today. Do you belong to Christ? Do you belong to Christ? Who are you to now? That is the question we are asking today. So that is what this verse is about. Do you belong to Christ? Are you sure you are in Christ? And it is something that everybody must examine themselves to know and be sure that they are in Christ. Most of the time when you ask people during evangelism, where would they go after life? Would they go to heaven or hell? Most of them will tell you they don't know. And they go on to say that nobody can know. And it's very funny to think that the God of all creation, the God of order, will keep us in suspense until we get to him. No, God wants us to be sure whilst we are alive that we'll go to him. Second part of verse 9. Bro, please, can you read that for me again? The second part. The Bible says, "Sisia ye tiatie no, tam ye odi amaye no, ye tam ye di boye ho, ama tam wa ye be ko atemu." Se wunye wu a na eno anu no. Yesu su ba na eno anu no. E di se wu tiatie sisia na se wunnim se, wu a be ko Yakobo onu ma, na wu tiatie nko ade a, de urade ase. Na hwe kwa ya wo be fa so, a wo su wo be ko Yakobo ahimani bi. E ho na wo ka se obi ni ne honhom kronkron no a, onko bi. It's as simple as that. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you will never go. So we are going to highlight on these things as it is said from verse 9 to 11. All what he said is that believers are defined by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of God is not dwelling in you, you are living in the flesh. And Paul here is saying that those who are living in the flesh are not for Christ. They are not for them. So ask yourself today, let this be a self-examination. Ask yourself, are you for Christ? Is the Spirit dwelling in you? If not, by the grace of God, you are not dead. So we'll teach you the way to have the Spirit to dwell in you, so that when that day comes, you will find favor in the eyes of God. The American say, "Sir, and say when they say Obiadi, a checking of home. So when Hunkun Ewan Mwana, say New Munsua, Sandy Abbeyan, the better of Panya Befasua, Banyam Hunamana Petina, said the Bayard, asking, Udun Yakuko anymore, Monsu Banya, Nenimu Equan." So beginning from verse 1, you see that he said, "There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Brock, can you read that for me, the verse 1?
A phobia anymore, or
one that walks to Jesus. A phobia anymore, Emma Omoa, or Moses. The question again, who are Jesus Kissumana? On Hukon Etiumana. And this foundational verse has so many promises, which we are going to look at a few of them. And the promises beginning from the same verse 8, you know. Those people who have the Spirit of God who dwells in Christ, first of all, they are free from God's wrath. Omo ahu nku ne eti omu no de di kan no. Ye yi omo fi Nyankopon ebufuhyi mu. When we say Nyankopon ebufuhyi wa, it is the day that we see really how God, the wrath of God. People talk of God as the God of love. Fine, God is the God of love. But in the same way, he is a God of wrath. The Bible confirms this. He said, those people who will be in Christ will be saved from his wrath to come. Have we ever seen his wrath before? Yes. Yes. Go to the Old Testament. Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened to them? They were burnt to ashes. In the same account, those who were following the Israelites, what happened to them? They were drowned in the sea. God has shown so many times his wrath. And the same wrath is going to come again one day. Either in our time or after our time. But the wrath of God is going to come. So those who are in Christ in the first place are saved. They are free from that wrath. That is what he said in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So if you are justified, if the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, then you are free from the wrath to come. So those who are justified by faith are delivered from the wrath to come. And I've already explained to you what the wrath of God is. So the Nyankopon ebufuhyew tie. So people say ohun a cobra oma angels no e command Sodom and Gomorrah warning. Se omo nya ombo ni na omo di na wa be shi ho nyina. Ihun de eh Nyankopon shi omo nyina. The same thing Noah's time oma warning say enso be form nyina, enso be fa omo nyina. Nyankopon ka se ebufuhyew be ba eh ampa. Ebeba so ampa. Ebeba na wabua wo ho ana. Are you in Christ? That wrath, you'll be free from it. Those who are in the spirit are free from the wrath to come. They are also free from the legal punishment. The punishment that God has said that those who are not in him will be punished. If you are in Christ, you are free from it. That is found in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Say Nyankopon, say Nyankopon, ewo ye mua. Like you say, wo yiye e free. Sa, say diye emrani tiye no. Emrani ma, emma ye tiye. Bro, can you read that for me in
Jesus? For the Christian ye, we should ye ma ye. Amano ato yen e free. Bra, anu mi mo, if you say, my dress say, wakini yo biara, wase yo biara.
So, and you say, we need sa, spirit now. We are able to same ever on your company. You are a curse before God. And that's what Christ did for us. He was hanged on the cross of Calvary. So that we who were supposed to be hanged there, he had done it for us. So we are free from that legal punishment, that curse that is hanging on us. The next thing that we are free from is eternal guilt. And that is what we said we read in verse 1. That there's now no condemnation in those who are in Christ. So the eternal guilt. It is also repeated in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. That if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Why is it like that? So what says you can't born in here now or you're born in now, but why is it like that? Because our sins were paid for by Christ on the cross of Calvary. Are you think that is a the dear sister said, you're born in an or the soil, yes, or Calvary, Emma, you're born as a senior. So you are no one can get a sample, and you're born as a senior. To why, yes, I didn't so am I. It is a woman, so who can it but no more. Now, you were free, sir, guilty now, Nanka, a down, am I? It's the young gentleman, you mean, say, yeah, what's our chapter 8, verse 9? Indeed, your can say. Believers are in the spirit, meaning they are controlled by the Holy Spirit, but not their sinful selves. Obia wey ojidi ni bia no hunhun na e control. Ta hunhun na control wa obodi na eye boni na we free Adam aba no e no na e be control. That is what this is saying. When the spirit is in you, the spirit controls you, and without the spirit, you can never please God. No one can please God without the Holy Spirit. So if the Spirit is not in you, whatever you are doing, even if you are attending church every day, we'll come to that. No matter what you do, you can't please God because you are pleasing God in sin. You must be cleansed from that state before you can actually please God. So this means that the presence of the Spirit of God is the defining marker of belonging to Christ. So when you go to the church, you know the church is where you come. As my yeke ni nadi kusinu. So when you go to the church, you need a radim. You are beko here. That is the message of the Bible. But how do we know this? The answer is in John 14, verse 16 to 17, where Christ promised the Father. Please, can you read that for us? So Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in us forever. So if the Holy Spirit has not come to dwell in you, and you claim that you are saved, you are deceiving yourselves. That's why I said this is a self-examination. And remember, this letter was written to Romans. They were in a church. It was not to people who worship idols. They were people who were in a church, which means there were people who were there, but still were not saved. That is why in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he said that in that day, some people will say that, Father, we worship you, we prophesy in your name, we heal in your name, and yet I will tell them that I don't know them. Who are those people? They were preachers. They were so-called men of God, as we are seeing in our days now. People who claim to be men of God, they claim to be healing, but yet Christ will say that in the end, I don't know you. So friends, to be a believer is not a small thing. You must have God's Spirit dwelling in you. That is the point of all this message. Secondly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, we know that the believer's body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 1, 6, verse 19 to 20.
And I said, no, you said, when you prepare, when you come to me,
So you see, the body of the believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in that body. So this is emphasizing that Christians are not our own. We belong to God. So our life might be directed by God. But how can he be directed by God when the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in you? Let's look at the third one. The third one, the believers are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who acts as a pledge or guarantee of their inheritance in Christ. That is later on. If you want to read all time, so you can go to Ephesians 1, verse 13 to 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. Believers are the Holy Spirit is a guarantee that dwells in us to show that God has been with us. In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, you say, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit before you can say that you are truly born of God. How do we know this? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13b, he said, in whom also, after that ye believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Please, can you read that for us? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, the second part.
Ephesians 1:13.
Alright, okay. You see, the point I want to raise is that, is that in whom also after that ye believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Mujidi yeno, but ebe sealed is like when we say something is sealed, we all know how a document is sealed to prove its authenticity. So when you believe, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So nobody can say, maybe I'm a year by me, the Holy Spirit in the Basel, I'm going to heaven. No. There must be a proof that you, yesterday, we were talking to some people here and some man that we visited. He was claiming that he has been saved. So I said, okay, because of our time, when I come next time, I will let him tell me why he thinks that he has been saved. What are the proofs? What shows that he has been saved? And this is what he's saying here. You see, in whom also after that, after you believe, when you believe, after hearing the word, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Friends, are you sealed with the Holy Spirit? Whoever is listening to me this morning, are you sealed with the Holy Spirit? It's a question you must ask yourself. Is the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? So if you being sealed with the Holy Spirit, occurred the moment that you believe. Our charismatic friends are preaching something different. We won't go through that because it's another story. One day when I have the time, I will explain to you. Because they quote a place when the Bible writes that Paul asked those who believe that whether when they believed, they had the Holy Spirit. And they said no. And then Paul prays for them. And so they use that to say that when you believe, you are not sealed with the Holy Spirit, but you are sealed some time after. That is not true. But like I'm saying, it's a long story if you want to go by it. But the next time, I will try to explain that to you. You see, in Acts, just to let you know, have the idea, in Acts, it was a transitional period. From the Old Testament, the Spirit can dwell in somebody and the person can lose the Spirit again. In our time, it comes to dwell, he comes to dwell in you forever and ever. So there are two ways. The old transition was different from our transition. So when they quote here, they are mistaken. In our time, when you are sealed with the Spirit, you are sealed with the Spirit forever and ever. And that's why Christ said, no one can take you from me. No one can snatch you from my hand. That is why we also believe in the one saved, forever saved. Because the one who saved you by grace is so powerful that no one can take you from his hand. So when you are saved, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That is the point I'm trying to drag to. So the most important question that you ever need to answer, do I belong to Christ? So if you belong to Christ, all God's promises are yes and yes in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. Second Corinthians. Okay, so in the English he said, if you belong to Christ, all of God's promises are yes and amen. If you are a believer, all the promises of God in the scriptures are yes and aiming for you. So let's see some of the benefits of you belonging to Christ. First, if you belong to Christ, you are reconciled to God. Before Christ, you were an enemy. But after Christ, you are reconciled to God. So you can say we're looking at you more. And for so I win you a minister paid the only uncle on term abbey bad. It's not a free Adam within the any uncle on term at the tea. A fair dear, and now it's soon you upon term abbey bad. If you are reconciled to God, if you believe in Christ, you are now reconciled to God. Second thing is that all your sins are forgiven you. When we say your sins are forgiven you, your sins, your inherited sins, the sins you have committed yourself, and even those that you are yet to commit, they are all forgiven you. So what do you be ma sa yesu ya? Not just say the ubone na achew. Because the ubone na boni a udi free adam ubai. And the workers are being rewarded. And the only thing you can do is to not chew. The only thing you can do is to not chew. The two spirits are there. The old spirit and the new spirit. Even though the new spirit is fighting the old, who will by all means succeed. Now until we die, as we are living, there will be quarreling. The two spirits are on us. The old and the new. But we have the new one to help us to fight the old one. But all your sins are forgiven you. Boni awodi kaye de obeye ndi onyanye ni nafa no ni na chew, because you are having the spirit of God in you. And then you can also have fellowship with God every day. Na woni yakopon so ebetimi ehia da bia na kono enim da bia na woni musu se wuwu enna you are going to be in glory forever and ever. If you are timi de pa ni pa betimi ehu bi we are seeing it getting worse and worse and worse every day. Those of us who are age, we can tell some time ago how things were and how things are going. It is never getting better. It's getting worse and worse and worse. It is the most important thing is to think of what is yet to come, which is what Christ is going to be. And then you will believe and you will have no fear for death again. That even if you die today, you are going to be in a better place. Where there's no more death, where there's no sickness, where there's no poverty, where there's no envy, there's nothing. That is where you are. So these are the benefits. If you belong to God, first you are reconciled to God, your sins are forgiven you, you can enjoy fellowship with God all the days of your life, and you don't fear, even if you die, you don't fear death. Death is what everybody fears, but if you are in Christ, sincerely in Christ, you never fear death, because if God allows you to die, then He knows it is good for you. Otherwise, nobody can kill you if you are living for Christ. So when you have Christ in you, you have all these promises in you. So the question again is, do you belong to Christ? Like I said, maybe if I ask anybody here, people can say yes. How do you know? Somebody can say, oh, I heard the gospel one day, and I was asked to invite Jesus Christ into my heart, and I did. And then the evangelist told me that I'm saved. And if I be brave, who don't say, dear, the church say, on the call heaven. Also, Michelle was in Kennedy, and I, or cast him with Chemino, or cast him in casting sinners prayer. I'm going to tell me, come on, me, come on. The Kennedy, I don't see anyone in my state. Can that be true? No. Why in the Bible is he saying that? So you must be sure that you have the Holy Spirit. Maybe some people even said that when they were in Sunday school, when they didn't even know about scriptures, but they think because they say that, they are saved. No, it is not true. Somebody may say, I also said the sinner's prayer. The same thing as I'm saying. They have a sinner's prayer. When you repeat them, in most cases, you repeat after the evangelist. They will say, and you say after them. And when you finish, you say, you are saved. Who be so? We say, they ain't in a, or you say, Obenya and Kawa, very much. Oh, now I'm not Sunday school, no. They can't tell me, they might come and mention, come on, they can't open you more, and no. And now they say, they can't sinner's prayer. Now they can't, I just say, no, no, my saved. That is not true. Ask yourself properly, do you belong to Christ? Do you have the proof that you belong to Christ? That all the signs that we are saying, are they in you? If not, like I said, you are not dead yet. You have the chance, you have the opportunity today to come and ask Christ to forgive you, that the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you, so that in future, you can say that, yes, I will go to heaven. Remember what I said earlier on, this letter was written to Romans. People who were in the church, and yet Apostle Paul was warning them. In the same way as we see the warning in Matthew 7, verse 21, he said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Brother,
7:21.
This is a very serious statement. People who were prophesying in his name, who were healing in his name, and yet he's saying that I don't know you. And not just not knowing, he said they are workers of iniquity. Only a bunny for, only a bush for. And yet they were pastors, they were preachers. So this makes it very serious that the salvation we are talking about is not a joke. To have the Spirit working in you is a serious thing. And you must be serious for it. Don't just say, because I go to church every Sunday, I am safe. But here, what he was saying here, it begins from verse 1. He said, therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Then he explains in verse 2, why are there no condemnation? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set them free from the law of sin and death. Because of that faith in them, they have been set free from the law of death. So now they have been justified. That is what we call justification. Because of Christ, they have been justified as clean. Yes, indeed. Your form will say, almost so ye at the papa. So the yes, indeed. And in verse 4, Paul described those who have been justified. He said, they do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who have been born in the Spirit, they don't walk according to the flesh, but they walk according to the Spirit. What the Spirit wants them to do is what they do, but not what their body wants them to do, because they are justified according to the flesh. Why? Because they set their minds on things above. If you have been born in the Spirit, your mind is in heaven. When Christ comes, how you go and be with him. But if not, your mind will be in this world. All your attention will be in this world, chasing things which do not satisfy, things that will rather disturb you, instead of you seeking for the kingdom of God, which is in heaven and which is yet to come. So people who are not on Christ, they set their minds on things of the flesh. And those who have been justified are according to the Spirit, they also set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And he goes on to explain in verse 6. He says, For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So those who are in the Spirit, their spirit is that of life and peace. Those whose mind is on things of the flesh are things of the flesh, will lead to death. There's no satisfaction. Then in verse 7, he goes to explain that those who are living are hostile towards God. Because the Spirit that is dwelling in them is the evil spirit. And it will never allow them to do something good. It will always lead them to something bad. In the same way as those who are living in the Spirit want to do things that will be pleasing to God. Even for those that are not having the Spirit, they can never please God. They don't have that capacity to please God. So you see the difference there. So the question to you once again is that, do you have the Holy Spirit in you? Can you say that the Holy Spirit is in you? Are you born again, sincerely born again? Can you see your life as a life being controlled by the Spirit or a life being controlled by the flesh? This is something you must think about today. You say, those who are in the flesh are spiritually incapable of even trusting in Christ for salvation because they are rebellious against them. That is the danger of it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that is in you is actually fighting Christ, who is going to be our judge. So where will you stand on that day? Then it comes to the verse 9. Then he talks about those who have experienced the new birth. He said, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. It's as simple as that. But all of this depends on the question I asked earlier on. Do you belong to Christ? Paul is saying that if God's spirit dwells in you, you belong to Christ. And though your physical body will die, God will raise your body again. You see, if the spirit of God dwells in you, do you know that the power that brought Christ to life is the one that dwells in you? So when Google to you, who said to me now, a D years to free a woman by and come on, that to me now, a two. It's not the spirit, it's not the power that we are seeing in the charismatic. It is the greatest power. The power that brought Christ from death to life is the power that dwells in you, if you have the spirit. But if you don't have the spirit, then it is the other way around. So in between verse 9 to 11, that is what Paul is saying. He said, those who have experienced the new birth, and then he explained it. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If the spirit of God really dwells in you, if it dwells in you, then you are in the spirit. So the point is, you belong to Christ. When you belong to Christ, you are changed from living according to the flesh to living according to the spirit. That is the big difference between those who are having the Holy Spirit. Let me quote what Spurgeon said about this verse. He said it's a verse 9. It's one of the most solemn texts in the whole Bible. He goes on to say, it is so sweeping, it deals with us all, and it deals with the most important points about us. For to belong to Christ is the most essential thing for time and eternity. That is what Spurgeon said in his commentary about Romans chapter 8, verse 9. I'll read it to you again. He said, verse 9 is one of the most solemn texts. Let me say, in the whole Bible. He said, it is so sweeping, it deals with us all. And it deals with the most important point about us. For to belong to Christ is the most essential thing for time and eternity. So it is very, very, very vital to have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, because if you don't, you don't belong to Christ. So as we can see, Paul divides all the people into two: those who belong to Christ and those who don't belong to Christ. I think my time is running, so let me just running again. So as I've already said, being a Christian is not a matter of going to church or believing certain doctrines of the Christian faith or trying to live by certain moral standards. It is not, like I said, just going to church or trying to live a moral life. No. It's the Holy Spirit himself, God, the third person of the Trinity, dwelling in you. That is what makes you a true Christian. Is he dwelling in you? Let's turn to John chapter 3, verse 3, and let's see what Christ said. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then in verse 7, he went on to say, do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. The same Peter said about the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The same thing in James chapter 1 verse 18 and Titus verse 3 to 4, chapter 3 from 4 to 6. So when we are born again, the Holy Spirit imparts new life into us and takes up residence in us. He imparts new life in us and then resides in us to lead us. Because we live in a world, this world we are living in now is a war. to be liberated from the power of Satan to the power of our Lord and Savior. So you need the Holy Spirit to be with you. As I said, our charismatic friends always try to say this in a different way. Now, as I said earlier, before I come to conclusion, I want us to really look at how we can come to have the Holy Spirit in us, and how we know that the Holy Spirit actually dwelling in us. You know, after Christ spoke to Nicodemus, Christ drew, he said a story describing the effects of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. He referred it to the wind. You see, who has ever seen the wind? No one, but we can see its effect, that the wind blows. So we know that the wind is there. The same like electricity. We can't see it, but we can see the effects. All the fans are working, all our lights are on, which means there's some power coming to it. And that is exactly the same as the Holy Spirit. Now, as we have said in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit, what he does, he sets you free from the law of sin and death. He gives you a new life and peace with God. He will also raise our mortal bodies. When we die, our bodies will be raised again. He enables us to kill our sin. The Holy Spirit comes to help us to kill our sin, without that nobody can kill the sin in us. And then he testifies to us that we are God's children. He helps us also to pray. In Romans 8:26, we just read it. We don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Also, he consoles us to God and enables us to submit to his will. Remember, we said that without the Spirit, we can never submit to the will of God. But with the Spirit, we can submit to the will of God. So, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is what, these are all what he does for us. Now, our charismatic friends will say that a proof of you having the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Like I said, the same thing, we can't go, but I want you to know that tongue speaking is never available in our time. And even when it was there, it was never used for prayer. It was from God to man, as we have explained here so many times, from God to man. God was speaking through to people, through men, and people were understanding them in their own languages. Nobody has used tongues to speak to God. So that alone tells you that it is not true. But when the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, notice that even the sign, the tongues was a sign. A sign is never something that we should practice. It points to an error. So when you have the Holy Spirit, you are drawn to God, and then you are always desiring to honor him. You always want to honor God. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you have been flooded with God's love, so that you have hope in God, that whenever you die today, you are going to where God has destined for you to go. The Holy Spirit also dwells in you when you regard the scripture as true. When the Spirit dwells in you, you see the word of God as the truth more than any other thing in this world. Christ called him the Spirit of Truth in John chapter 14, verse 17. He inspired the writers of scriptures. The Bible was written by men through inspiration. They were inspired by God. And that was the work of the Holy Spirit. He inspired men to write the Bible. And the Holy Spirit also helped us to understand the riches of God and the word of God. So there are so many things that the Holy Spirit in you will also show, so that you know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. There are so many of them because of our time. But I want us to examine ourselves. If you say you are born again, how is your life like? How is your prayer life like? Are you involved in evangelism? Remember, you were saved to help save others. So if the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, one of the things that you would like to do is to witness for God. Are you doing it? Are you witnessing for God in what capacity? How are you serving God? How are you working for God? All these are signs that you must tell whether you are for God. So if the Spirit is dwelling, you have a growing hatred of sin. You will hate sin and you will love holiness. And you will hate sin and you will love holiness. And the chief of Rupon et you. On Rupon et you, moi, what was over cast, I'm not sure a fufra or monkey in a coupon assembly. There's a only a Jew unqua. Said the Bayer, and I'm soon your bed in the Papa Ronqua. Who cast a mature in the bar? Said my own Yabiana, the Rupon et you, moi, obey Sir Edmari. Or the Rupon et you, moi, obey Tembiano, obey Bombardin, obey crazy on your coupon, not obey Danati. Oh, and you might be brave. On Rupon et you, moi. You grow in prayer. You always want to pray. Do you pray all the time? Do you spend quality time in prayer? These are all signs whether the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you or not. And then, like, the emphasis I'm making again, are you involved in evangelism? If you say that you are saved. Listen to what Christ said through Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But he said, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come unto you, and you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. You see, the book of Acts is a story about the early church bearing witness of Christ. Are you a witness of Christ? If you are, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. If you are not, it's not dwelling in you. Because God cannot lie. All these signs must be in you to prove that you have the Holy Spirit. And then you can be sure that if I die today, I know where I'm going. Can go to you more, and Emma McKenna, and Emma, a very sewer, or Brabham. Say, see ya, put me the middle of who pronounces anybody who is see. No, God cannot lie. As I say, see, oh, or Brabham, who bomb pie, who see Bible. Now, when it comes to coming to the church, is it your priority, number one priority, or is it about your own job? All these things are signs that the Holy Spirit dwells in you or not. And the final one, like I said, do you witness to other people? It might not be everybody who can come here and preach. But do you take any opportunity you get to preach the word of God to people? Because Christ has said that when the Holy Spirit comes to you, this is what you will do. You will bear witness of him. Are you bearing witness? If you are not doing that, you are none. It's as simple as that. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will work in us, that we will truly be saved from this wicked and sinful world, whilst we await the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.